Shh. It's Open Loops. Your unconscious mind has tuned in to just the right place. A late night talk show for the shamelessly fringe. It's Open Loops with Greg Bornstein. Conversations that bend. Hello, everybody. Wow. We got a good one for you this week. My name is Greg Bornstein, cultural hypnotist, curator of experience, and of course, consciousness disruptor. Tried to disrupt your consciousness a little bit there. I'm a looper. I'm a chief looper here. And what is Open Loops? What is it about? What even is a loop that is open? We'll get to that in just a minute. You see, my goal on this show is to challenge your existing belief systems with radically unique ideas designed to stimulate your unconscious mind and force you to step into the highest version of yourself. Now, what does that mean for this series this week? The Shh series. I'll tell you something. I put out a feeler for a special kind of guest for this program. I said, I am looking for someone, and this is always really what I'm looking for, but I am looking for someone to challenge my entire perception of how reality works in under an hour. I put that out there to groups of people that I thought could meet the challenge. And all of a sudden, I had tons of people reaching out. Manifestors, law of attraction experts, people that are building off of the ideas that came from The Secret, a very popular documentary that I was exposed to by a good friend of mine in high school. He said, Greg, watch this. This is the good stuff. And I'm going, well, if a high school kid is telling me to put a blank CD into my hard drive, I'm a little worried what I'm about to view. Turns out, the good stuff was even better than anything high school hormones could possibly fear being confronted with. Yes, it was The Secret. Very popular documentary. Rhonda Byrne, whoever that is, wrote the book, produced this documentary, brought a lot of big names together. Bob Proctor, Joe Vitale, John DeMartini. Big names. The dude that wrote Chicken Soup for the Soul, Jack Canfield. Just big names in spirituality at the time were coming together to talk about how your thoughts create your reality. You create your own reality. It was mind-blowing stuff at the time as a high schooler. I really thought it was remarkable. At the same time, I also was skeptical. Greg came out and was also going, yeah, is this really anything new? But still, it was new enough, it was interesting enough as an idea for me to start investigating it, and I've had an on and off intrigue with it. And my honest opinion, I think there's a lot, almost too much law of attraction experts out there, and it's tough to sort the hype from the reality. Because really, I mean, you could, well, I'll tell you what, I'll give you my assessment of the law of attraction and what I think might be going on, especially in light of my guest this week, after this miniseries, because that's what this miniseries is. The Shh series is all about manifestation now. What we know about it in today's day and age. 2021, it's been about 16 or so years since The Secret came out. A lot of people have put their unique spin on manifestation. There are a lot of manifestation coaches out there. You're no longer just a life coach. You can actually teach people to use their imagination to envision what they want in their dreams and then, boom, make it appear. Very interesting. Now, is it some mystical law of the universe? Is it magic in action? I have a whole series here dedicated to having you decide. We're going to bring in some different voices this week. People coming at The Secret and the Law of Attraction and Manifestation from different perspectives, different life stories. And I want to stack them next to each other so that by the end of this week, you will have a totally open-minded, unique perspective with contradictions about the way the Law of Attraction works, so that you're able to get it from all those different angles, integrate it into your being, and then come out with an understanding of how your mind and your heart and your soul creates what you want to have show up in the world. If it does, because maybe it doesn't. Maybe it's all just placebo too. Now, I wanted to call this originally the Man Infestation, but then I realized, that sounds like a low vibration word. It feels negative. And one of the principles of this whole thing is that you have to be positive. You have to spin. You don't put out, I want to stop violence in the world. You say, I want to promote peace in the world. That's how the Law of Attraction works. You attract what you're vibrating at. So instead, I called it the Shush series because, well, I didn't want to make it this whole, you created this podcast, which also was an idea of mine, called this the You Created It Festival, because actually you did. I mean, if you were to believe any of my guests, everything you're hearing right now, you brought this into reality. I am here. You're listening to me, but you asked for it, okay? I just showed up. You thought in your head you wanted Greg Bornstein to speak to you at some level, and I'm here. Congratulations. You manifested this. I'm so sorry if you're disappointed. Then I realized, well, wait a minute. Let's be a little bit neutral. Because people are talking about The Secret, but it's no longer just The Secret if everybody's talking about it. So let's get back to the roots. We'll call it the Shh series because it's half secret, but also kind of loud too. We're being loud about the secret principle. And also, what are the secrets behind The Secret? If that documentary was enough, well, we wouldn't have all these different experts from various backgrounds sharing perspectives that really make it work. Today's guest is a great example of someone that understands this. Ed Langan. I really like this guy. Very interesting perspective, similar to mine in terms of, well, similar to my background. He was a musician and very much landed on what I like about this interview is we go into the tension between the things that the Law of Attraction initially was promoting, beautiful parking space, new car, luxury, and actually leading a fulfilling life, and how using the principles of manifestation can get you a direct roadmap right to what you actually need. What do you actually need? Reminds me of that old George Carlin stand-up bit about stuff. Ed talks about stuff a lot in this episode. I like Ed's approach. Very down to earth, very filled with heart, very, very, well, very captivating to listen to. Ed Langan was a great guest. If you enjoy these mind-bending perspectives. Make sure to share this podcast with your friends and family, and really trying to get these conversations out there. If you can follow the show on Apple Podcasts and rate it and leave a review, even a couple of words, put your Instagram handle. We'll do a shout out on this show for you too. Definitely helps us out. Now, without further ado, let's begin the Shh series with Master Mindset Coach and Psychic, Ed Langan. We have today on Open Loops, Ed Langan, the Master Mindset Coach, Law of Attraction Expert, and psychic channel. Ed comes from, there's a lot of overlap between myself and Ed in terms of crossing different influences and positive thinking and hypnotherapy and exploring the law of attraction. I mean, there are a lot of things that I have crossed paths with that I've really made a life doing. So also, your story starts with you being at a dead-end job, so I relate to that. We're gonna talk about all of it. Ed, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Greg. I'm happy to be here. I'm looking forward to chatting with you. And yes, it's interesting that I'm from New York, and now I'm in Massachusetts, and you're from Massachusetts, and now you're in New York. So I like that already, so that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you look at that as some sort of cosmic synchronicity?
Sure, why not?
Okay, I thought there might be something more significant.
No, than, no. We don't want to read anything more into that. It's a nice connection, you know, a nice little law of attraction thing there. So yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, look, I am sort of curious about this and your experience having done this for so many years. When people do offhandedly joke about things like that, when they say, oh, you know, it's a synchronicity, or I never know. I know that there have been several times where for some reason I have a podcast interview and I can't do it that day for some reason, and I've had guests say to me, oh, well, it's because it's Lion's Gate and there's some stuff going on. I'm always going, is everything connected to everything in the spiritual realm? Is it always that? I mean, in your opinion, how do you distinguish between something spiritual versus just coincidence?
Okay, that's easy. Everything is spiritual because we are spiritual first, right? We're not our bodies. Our bodies are animated by this energy, which we refer to as our spirit. So we're actually spirit first, and everything is energy. So everything has to be spirit. So everything is spirit, always. Now, that's not necessarily what we've been taught. We've been taught the separation between church and state and, you know, no praying in school and all that kind of stuff. But it's not, that doesn't make it true. Everything right. is spirit. Yeah.
That's pretty good. So then, but what about, I guess I wonder about, there's some people that when they talk about spirituality, it's very pure. It's very, I think that's why Eastern philosophy resonates with so many people, resonated with me early on, because they said, well, you don't need these constructions. You don't need to label things. You don't need to label the stars and talk about different energy frequency. You can just be present. There is something much more, in a weird way, humanistic about Eastern philosophy. I wonder, I mean, I'm not sure what your background is, and if you came from, you know, a Jewish or Christian or any sort of even pagan religion, but I'm curious in your experience as somebody that's been doing this for a while now and someone that seems to be talking about things that are a little more, in a way, applicable to the secular world. In a sense, the law of attraction, manifestation, you work with entrepreneurs. I mean, this is stuff that is day to day. They, you know, right. you can't just be there and like look to the stars to make your next business decision. I am curious, How do you, as someone in spirituality, discern between the different practices when there are so many different spiritual constructs out there? What has been your guiding light in terms of, you know, Ed Langan not being the crystal guy versus just being this law of attraction mindset person? How have you come to where you are?
Well, you want to check within yourself. We've been taught by our world teaches us to give our power away. So we want to start by keeping our power, and by the only person who really knows you is you. And when you check in with yourself and check in and see, does this resonate with you? Does this make sense to you? Is there an inner something? And it's hard to put into words, but the first time I heard law of attraction, I was like, that's it. That's, you know, that's exactly it. Now, I was brought up Catholic, and I, you know, went through all that. And I still believe in God and Jesus and all of that stuff. I believe in the angels and all that, but I am spiritual. So I have an inclusive view. I don't think that one religion is right and the other religion is wrong or anything like that. My beliefs are inclusive with everybody. And it's about finding what's inside of you and what resonates with you. Now, you said something interesting that I want to just touch on. We didn't come here to sit under a tree and meditate all day. We came here to get involved, to mix it up, to meet people, to try things, to do things, because it's the stuff, the difference, the diversity, the choice that moves everything forward. If we wanted to sit under a tree and meditate all day long, we could have stayed where we were. We didn't need to come here. So we did come here to mix it up, to get involved, to try it, to have sometimes where we're really on track and other times where we're really not, and to cause an asking and an ebb and a flow. And that's part of why we're here and part of what we came to do. But the biggest answer is, what resonates with you? What feels right to you inside your heart, not inside your head? Because your ego lives in your head, and that can lead you all over the place, which is not a terrible thing either, because on that journey, you're still going to learn. And at some point, you're going to connect within your heart. And that's where the real answers are. And that's what you want to sort of look for.
Oh, that definitely resonates with me. Mm-hmm. I wonder, in terms of your journey, what was the moment where you really connected with your heart?
That's a good question. It happens gradually, and then it happens all of a sudden, you know, so there's big moments and small moments, and it's about noticing. Obviously, when I married my wife, I could feel all kinds of energy. I could feel, you know, being a psychic. Now, I'm not a medium. I don't practice mediumship. I'm a channel. We can talk about that later if you want. But I could feel my grandparents who had passed. I could feel her grandparents. And so that was a big opening of that. It was, I don't want to say we were fated to be together, but there was definitely an energy when we met each other. We're like, okay, this is, so that was part of it.
Did she feel that too? Did she feel that too? Such an interesting first date conversation. I've never never gone out and been like, I feel your grandparents. I mean, was it really that?
No, that was on the day that we got married.
Oh, okay.
At our wedding, I could feel them. I didn't feel them immediately. No, but I could feel them when we got married. And, you know, my path was opening, my abilities were opening, my connection to my heart was opening. So that was a big moment where there was a bigger connection. So that was one of them. Before my brother passed away, there was another big moment. So it happens gradually. You don't notice necessarily the increments as it's happening, but you do your work. When I was 19 years old, I had a hurricane going on in my head pretty much constantly. And someone suggested that I start meditating. Now, obviously, in the beginning, I was terrible at it, but something inside of me clicked with it. And I kept doing it and kept doing it and kept doing it. Now, all these years later, I meditate every single day and have for years and years and years, and the hurricane is long gone.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder about, you know, in terms of the heart, there's so many different topics here. I mean, there's a lot going on here. Well, look, why don't we start here? So you mentioned the clouds, the clarity. And then you were reading The Power of Positive Thinking, yes. Which I remember I had a physics teacher in high school that said, he said, hey, Greg, yeah, this secret documentary you're talking about, check back 50 years ago because it's right. Just rebranding. But yeah, I'm curious. I mean, what is your experience of that book? What happened when you read that? And how much credit should we give to Norman Vincent Peale for really setting us up?
We should give lots of credit to him. And we'll talk about the chronological in a minute. But I was 19, 20, and my father gave me the book and suggested that I read it. And I was surprised and horrified to learn that there was a difference between positive thinking and negative thinking, because everything I was thinking was negative. And that was another big turning point, but that wasn't with the heart. That was more with the mind. It was like, oh crap, I need to do something about this. And that was really my beginning journey to becoming a mindset coach, because I knew right then and there, I needed to change my mindset because I understood that I had control of that. Now, the next interesting thing, the next synchronicity was A Course in Miracles. Now, A Course in Miracles is a book that has a workbook in it, and there's 365 exercises you do on every single day, and it changes you from a fear-based mentality to a love-based mentality. And my beautiful wife was saying, we need to do this. And I'm like, this is impossible. We can't do, you know, pizza day, hangover day, Arbor Day, Christmas Day, New Year's Day. Right. You know, I'm like, forget it. We can't. She was undaunted, and the book was on our coffee table. And finally, one day I said, all right, let's try it. And we did it. So that was another major turning point for me. Now, Norman Vincent Peale, I don't know the exact dates, but I think The Power of Positive Thinking was more towards the 60s and the 70s. In the 20s, there was a book called As a Man Thinketh. I believe Think and Grow Rich was in the 40s. There was The Science of Mind. So there was a lot of that stuff in there. Now, here's the one that's going to take you way, way back. The Buddha in the 6th century BC said, you become what you think about. So this is not new information, but yeah, you know, as you said, it gets repackaged, there's a different understanding, there's a different way of connecting with it. But we as a species have known about this for a really long time.
Did you, I mean, this is, it's a simple teaching in so many ways, that it's such a profound teaching from people. And it always intrigues me that it's such a thing these days, Ed. I mean, I left and right, I interview manifestation coaches or people that, if it's not the main thing, it's what they are teaching people to do, or at least they get into a phase where all they're doing is manifesting. I mean, what do you think? Okay, here's my question. This is the deep question for me.
Right. Good.
Do you already know it? Do you already know the question? Okay. No, here's the question. I mean, if you do, that's fine. I was going to say, what do you think is the difference between someone that just teaches positive mindset as a way of teaching you to get what you want in life, which already would be amazingly effective? I mean, it is true. I remember in college, there was somebody, another weird incident I had where I was walking in Chinatown one day. It was in the West Village with a group of friends, and we went into this Eastern store, and again, Eastern philosophy. And I bought a book on meditation, but I said, you know, what do you think the meaning of life is? What do you think it is? Or how do you become enlightened? And this guy said, every single thought you have, every single one, make it positive. Find the positivity. Just make it all positive. And back then I was going, oh, wow, that sounds like quite a practice. But I mean, it's if you truly did lead a life like that, I could see you manifesting whatever you want. Yeah. So that's my question. What's the difference between a positive thinking coach versus when you start bringing in the law of attraction and manifestation?
Well, there's levels. And everybody is at their own level, wherever that is, right? And wherever it is perfect. So it's the parable or the story. At which point is an oak tree perfect? When it's a full grown tree and it drops its acorns, or when the acorn sits through the fall and through the winter, and in the spring when it sprouts. When it comes through the ground, when it makes its first leaves, when it becomes a sapling, when it first blossoms and makes acorns, at which point is it perfect? And the answer is every single one of them. Now, we as humans don't necessarily think that, but every single point on your path is perfect, and you are at whatever level you're at. You know, you've heard people say, this one's an old soul, that one's an old soul. So they're on a different path and they're on a different level. None of that is wrong. None of that is bad. For some people, where they are on their path, just simply being positive and shifting their thinking to positive is enough for now. And that may lead them to manifestation, to law of attraction, to deeper spiritual understanding, and it may not. And either way, it's fine. So it's more about where they are in their level, where they are in their journey. And the way that I like to explain it and the way it was explained to me is we're all standing on the side of a mountain and each of us is at a different place. And as you go up to the next level, there's someone there saying, yep, come on this way, come on this way, come on this way. And you get up further and there's someone saying, yep, come on this way. And so wherever we are on that path, we're still bringing people up. And that's what we do.
Can you, no, I mean, I can totally understand how the deeper you go into, I mean, that makes a lot of sense in terms of enlightenment and this idea that you could, I mean, I think Eckhart Tolle did it with the power of now. It's, for some reason, Ed, this conversation is going very Eastern. I don't know why. Sorry, you're bringing me to the present here. But no, this idea of like, okay, direct your attention to the now. Live in the present, do all that. And then someone that is practicing meditation for years to someone that becomes a Zen master. Clearly there are different levels there. I totally right. am with you. I guess I'm curious in your experience and the work you've done with people, what would you say? Could you give me like a tangible example of somebody that has worked on their mindset and what kind of things they're manifesting in their life versus when they're really tapped into the power of manifestation? What does that actually look like? What would we see?
Well, the reason why, and myself included, I was interested in law of attraction is because I wanted to learn how to get my stuff. I wanted my stuff. So whatever my stuff might have been, you know, a musician. So it was guitars, and I manifested guitars and cars and houses and money and all of that stuff. And there's nothing wrong with any of that. But after a while, you realize that you can't fill this up with stuff. But that's the start of the journey. The start of the journey, because I always say law of attraction is a spiritual law. And there's lots of people who don't agree with that. They're like, no, that's how you get your stuff. And I'm okay, that's fine. But deep down, it's a spiritual law, because eventually the things that you want to manifest are joy and love and happiness and connection with people and amazing conversations with folks like you. And that's what more of my manifestations are now. That's what I'm interested in. But in the beginning, it was guitars and cars and money and houses and vacations and fish on fishing trips. You know, you gotta make sure you catch the biggest fish.
Yeah.
You know, and eventually it becomes turned back to the heart. You get this stuff and there's still, I don't want to say an emptiness, but there's still, it's still not quite filling you up. And you reach a point where you know you can manifest anything, and you decide what it is that, what do I really want to manifest? I want to teach people how to do this. Okay. I believe that everybody deserves to know that they create their own reality. So it's not that they have to, or they need to, or they're supposed to, they deserve to. And if they'd like to, I'm happy to help them. So that's the energy. I guess the best way to explain it is in the beginning with the law of attraction, your energy is like, and eventually everything just calms down. Right. You know, you get your stuff, you settle down, you go, oh, okay, I can do this. It's not a big deal. Now, what's going to fill my heart? What's going to fulfill my purpose here on earth? What's going to make me feel better? What's going to bring me joy? And teaching this brings me joy, makes me happy. Having conversations like this with you makes me happy. I love this. So
didn't you, when you, yeah, no, I'm glad I'm a part of your manifestation. I'm honored. I am. And I, in turn, I suppose. Yeah, no, I know it's reciprocal. I guess what I'm wondering is then when you're working with people and they've heard the law of attraction, and even if they've watched The Secret, how much of the time are you working with them to make them go, yeah, you think you want that, and yeah, I can teach you how to do it, but this is not really what you want? I mean, how much of that is your work to get them to the right place where they're
none of it. That they have to figure out on their own.
Really?
Yes. Okay. Because if you come to me and say, can you teach me how to manifest, how to create my own reality? And I say, yes, but you really don't want that. That's not going to work. So as I said, this is a spiritual law. This is part of our understanding of who we are. And when you understand that you're a creator and that you came here to create, and that manifestation is a natural process of that, then you will figure that out as your vibration rises, as your energy changes, as you ascend. You'll figure that out on your own. I'm not here to tell anybody what they want is appropriate or inappropriate. I will teach you the universal laws. I will teach you how to use them and what they are, and what you do with them is entirely up to you.
Do you mix and match things if someone goes, hey, I want this, and also add your psychic channel? So can you tell me if I really want it? Can you give me the, okay. I'm curious how right, those right. Two worlds collide for you.
Well, that's a great question. I love that question. Thank you for asking that. I am a psychic channel, and my work is to bring through guidance and wisdom. Okay. I am not a fortune teller, and my guides will not take away anybody's free will. So in every single moment, you have the choice to shift and change your energy, to change your focus, to change what you're going to manifest. And if you come to me and I say to you, in 6 months, this is going to happen because that's what I feel your energy is right now, and you believe me, I've just taken away your free will. Because you may not realize that you have the ability to change your mind, to change your energy. You can wake up tomorrow and change your thinking. So when I read someone's energy, I am reading what they are right this moment. And I'm not making them stay that way. I'm telling them, this is what I feel, but you have the ability to change that. So the guides are very specific about not taking away anybody's free will. So I know there are people out there who are fortune tellers, and I don't like that term at all, but that's not something that I do.
Yeah. Yeah. Out of curiosity, I mean, what are I know that you have this belief about there are two things you can control.
Correct.
And these are the things that are going to affect you in your business. What are those two things?
There are only two things that you can control, and they are what you think and how you react. And that's it. Those are the only two things. And if you think about it, that's the whole shooting match right there. Because in every moment, you have a choice. You're telling yourself a story. You're saying to yourself, this event means, and then you're running with the story. So this event could mean I'm on my way, everything's working out and this is great. Or this event could mean, oh crap, I just screwed up. And either way, you're going to have a reaction. Now, one of the hardest thing, no, that's not fair. A challenging thing to do is to learn to control your reactions, especially if someone is yelling at you, because then you want to defend yourself. But it's learning to control your reactions and then controlling what you think. Now, there's a wonderful book out there, which you've probably heard of, which is The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Right,
and agreement number two is by far the most important, and that is do not take anything personally. And that's not what we're taught. We're taught to take everything personally. And if we're taking things personally, now we're not thinking, we're reacting. So just those two things, what you think and how you react, are gigantic. It takes a lot of practice. It takes a lot of control. Now, here, I'm going to put you on the spot. I'm going to ask you a really, really hard question.
Please ask me questions. Fix me. I need the help. Yes, right, go ahead.
I don't believe you need to be fixed. I think you're doing great. But anyway, the question you're welcome. You're welcome. The question is, are you your thoughts or are you the person, the energy that hears your thoughts?
This is kind of what I was going to ask you next, actually. I do not believe I am my thoughts, which makes me then go, if I can control my thinking, how much control do I have if I'm not them?
Correct. You are not your thoughts. You are the energy that hears your thoughts. You are, Eckhart Tolle and a lot of other spiritual teachers talk about this, that you are what the energy that hears those thoughts. Now, here comes the law of attraction. Thoughts are energy forms. Thoughts have a vibration to them. So if you watch The Secret or listen to Abraham or any of that, you understand that a thought is an energy pattern. So when you realize you're not your thoughts and that you're choosing them, now you have control. Now you're manifesting on purpose because thoughts become tools. So what thoughts do I need to manifest this? Right? And then you start to think, well, I need a hammer. I need this. I need that. You know, and the hammer that's symbolic. You know, I need this thought. I need that thought. I need the other thought. And then you start focusing and flowing those thoughts on purpose. Now you're creating your own reality. Now you're controlling. Controlling is not the right word. I don't like the word controlling, but now you're creating is a better word. So the two things, what you think and how you react. Now you're choosing your thoughts, because when you're in reaction, your thoughts are just blooming. They're just kind of exploding out of you. I can't believe they said that to me. You know, and now you're in the, you know, and you have no control. Your vibration is all over the place. Your energy is all over the place. But when you stop and choose how you react and choose what you're going to think, now you're creating. Now you're manifesting. The biggest surprising thing that people have, and I'm going to let that sink in for a second. The biggest surprising thing that people have in my workshops is when I tell them you're manifesting 100% of the time. If you're awake, you're manifesting. I say, oh, no, Ed, I'm manifesting a new car. Yeah, I'm manifesting a new house. I'm manifesting a new job. But all this other stuff, And I'm like, nope. If you're awake, everything is a manifestation. So you are manifesting all of it. Now that's a deep thing, and that's a little surprising and scary. But when you start to understand what we said about choosing your thoughts and using your thoughts as tools, you can turn that around relatively quickly with some discipline and some focus and some practice.
I was gonna say, how much discipline do I need? Because it sounds as if it would be the thing I've always found difficult about it. Is And perhaps this is just the result of someone that hasn't meditated as long as you have. But I guess it takes me back to that guy in the West Village, this idea of actively changing the thoughts. Now, this is where I think hypnosis has been radical. I mean, it can, when people offer a law of attraction session with someone for like hypnosis to reprogram some limiting beliefs, I go, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That seems like a great shortcut, because the idea of constantly monitoring your thoughts, or going, well, it's not anti-war, it's pro-peace for every single thought,
right,
feels right. Like it could just be a constant game. It could get you more in your head. Are there easier ways to really tap into this manifestation power without this overcorrection kind of mindset that I'm sure people, analytical people like me, might be prone to do?
Right. It does take some time and it does take some practice, but no. Now, earlier we said you didn't come here to meditate all day long. So if you meditate for 15 minutes, you've raised your vibration. If you choose your thoughts, if you sit down for 5 minutes and write in your book about how much you love to do your podcast, and simply pick thoughts like that and talk about how much fun it is to talk to people all around the world, how you enjoy the interaction, you enjoy the questions, you enjoy the wisdom, you enjoy hearing from the folks who listen to your podcast saying, you know, I really like this, and all the reviews and everything. If you sit down for 5 minutes and write your story about that, that's enough. Because you've started to change your energy and it'll start to get easier. And when you... What happens is we catch ourselves in the middle of a hurricane, in the middle of the crazy thoughts. And then we go, oh no, I need to think positive. And then you start beating the crap out of yourself inside for not thinking positive. That's the worst time to do it. That's when you go, okay, here I am. I'm doing this. I noticed it. That's a good thing, because that's halfway there when you notice and say, tomorrow I'll do better. And you get up and you do your meditation and you write your story about your podcast and you write your story about whatever it is that you're working on. And that's enough. It doesn't have to be all day long. In the movie, The Secret, they talk about the fact that positive thoughts are 100 times more powerful than negative thoughts. So a little bit of positive goes a long way. And that will give you some peace. And understand, this is like learning a whole new language. Now, if we were 4 or 5 years old, it'd be no big deal. But we're a little bit older than that. And so it does take some practice. It does take some, the biggest thing is to not to beat yourself up, right? Don't take it personally, and don't beat yourself up personally for to just go, okay, I realize I'm doing this. I want to do better in the future. It is what it is for now. Let it go. And then later or tomorrow, start again and just do the best you can. It's when I was working with Abraham and listening to Abraham, one of the first things they said, which made me insane, was there is no there. And I was like, what do you mean there's no there? There has to be a there, because I'm doing this to get there and I'm doing that to get there and I'm going here to get there. And they're like, there is no there. Because when you get there, there's a new there, and there's always more. There's always expansion. So we're in such a hurry to get to there, to get to done, to get to complete, that we're not enjoying the journey. We're beating ourselves up along the way, and we're really not helping ourselves. So when we realize that, yes, there, I'm going to rephrase what Abraham said, there is a there, but then from that there, there's more. And then from that there, there's more. And then from that there, there's more. So there's always movement forward. There's always growth. There's always learning. And that takes some of the pressure off. So today I was really good at it. Tomorrow I might not be. And that's okay.
Yeah. I'm letting this all sink in. I'm going, wow, how deep does this manifestation stuff go? I mean, what's interesting is that, do you think then, because look, and I know, and I was definitely going to ask you about this. I know that you took the Marshall Silver's workshop, yes. The Turning
yes.
Point.
Yes. Yes.
And what's interesting, I think, about Marshall Silver's work in particular is that it definitely speaks to a very Western, very materialistic sense of abundance. And it's attractive. It's attractive. It speaks to what I think of. And look, I mean, hey, yeah, like you said earlier, you attracted the cars, you attracted the nice house, you attracted the, like, he speaks to that. I wonder though, you said you don't help people with the journey, or at least you're not.
I don't qualify their journey.
You don't qualify it.
Yeah.
Do you think, I mean, do we all have to go through this rebellious? I almost feel now it's a rebellious manifestation phase in your experience. It's almost like the teenager doing drugs and going out and, you know, to me, that sort of seems like the immature version of the law of attraction at this point, going, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get rich. I'm going to have this dream life and I'm going to do this. And I'm sitting here going, yeah, but Ed knows that probably for most people, I even think for myself, that's not really what you want. Is that just a flaw in humanity or the egoic mind taking hold? I mean, I'm wondering if people could just make the jump. Why go through that phase? Why not just go to the heart place rather than the material abundance phase that is so appealing in law of attraction work?
Right. And that's a great question. And in our society, we've been programmed. We've been programmed since we were little kids. You need to make money. You need to have money. The rich people do this. The good thing, you know, when you look at all the ads, you look at all, you know, this car is better than that car, this jewelry, this. And they're telling us, get this thing and you'll be happy. And we're eager, you know, excited little beings, little spirits going, yeah, if I get that, I'll be happy. If I'm a rock star, I'll be happy. If I get the big house, I'll be happy. If I marry the prettiest woman, I'll be happy. And that's fine, because as I said, and now we're talking about law of attraction in a really deep spiritual way, but it has to start somewhere. So the answer to your question is the programming of American people. And this is the easiest way in to this spiritual learning is how do I get my stuff? This is how you get your stuff. Make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely, I mean, look, it is certainly in the podcast circuit. You see it, people that are all, oh, attract my seven figure business, attract my, and I get it. Look, you have to appeal to people's sense of survival and wanting to feel that they're moving somewhere in life. I mean, it beats the 9-to-5 job, but I guess my question for you would be this. Knowing someone like me who's talking to you right now, that's going, I don't think the jobs that they have for me out there are it. But I also am aware that at a certain point, I'm going to realize that my egoic desires, which are so strong, they're very strong, are not going to fill this kind of sense of purpose. You know, what do I do? How can I beat the program but still find, go after something that my heart wants to do and also live a life that is full enough of enough abundance to really enjoy it?
Right. Now, don't misunderstand what we're saying. We're not saying abundance is bad.
I don't think it's bad.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So that's your journey. And within that is a huge amount of growth and a huge amount of understanding and a huge amount of wisdom. Now, I can talk to you all day, every day about this, that, that, and the other thing. But what you have to do is you have to take the knowledge and understand it and take the knowledge and put it into practical terms. You have to experience it. And that's when the real understanding and when the real teaching starts. So if you're wanting something because you generally believe that it's going to fill your heart and bring you joy, it may. And there may be other things that you want for, as you say, egoic reasons, and they might be fun for a month or two or a year or two or whatever, and then you'll go, yeah, okay, I did that. And either way is fine, because it's your journey, it's your path, it's what you came here to do. There's no right or no wrong. This is, here's a big thing. This is a gigantic spiritual teaching that a lot of people, well, anyway, we're just going to spit it out. And interestingly enough, it starts from Shakespeare, because when we think of Shakespeare, we think of Shakespeare and the Jesus and the Buddha and all, right? He's right up there with him, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Shakespeare said, things are neither good nor bad, but thinking that makes it so.
Right.
So everything is neutral, and you're deciding what it means to you. A Course in Miracles says, I give everything I see all the meaning it has for me. So that's why some of us like this kind of car, and others like this kind of car, and some of us like this kind of food, and others like this kind of food, because we're the ones who are deciding. So you're deciding your path as you go, and you're choosing. Have I been programmed to believe that if I have this, this is going to fill me up inside? And the answer may be yes. So I'm going to work really, really hard to get that and then see if it fills me up inside or not. And it may or may not. And then from there, you'll decide and choose again. And that's what we were saying. There is no there. You'll be at a different level. You'll start again and you'll continue. So it's not anybody's place to evaluate, this is a good thing, this is a bad thing, you should do this, you should do that, because it's entirely up to you. So when people come to me and say that they want to manifest seven figures, that's perfectly fine. I don't have a problem with that. And I can teach them how to do that. When people want to manifest at a deeper spiritual level, that's perfectly fine too. The folks who come to me to manifest the seven figures and the cars and all that are going to get this spiritual stuff too, because I can't not give you this when I'm teaching. What you do with it, that's entirely up to you.
Is there anybody you wouldn't teach this to? Are there evil people out there that would use this for terrible means? I mean,
sure there are. Absolutely. Because remember, now this is when it gets really, really deep. Everything is neutral, right? Everything is neutral. So deciding that something is evil, now you're choosing a side. You're making a decision. Now, we would prefer that you lean towards the positive. We would prefer that you lean towards the light. And to answer your question, this is where the law of attraction comes in. My light, my soul, my being radiates a certain energy. And only people who are close to that energy and close to that vibration are going to come to me. Someone who may have a devious thought or evil, if you will, they're not going to be attracted to me. They're going to think I'm crazy. So they're going to find, you know, so again, everything is still law of attraction. Every still thing is still vibration. Everything is still manifestation. So someone who is not somewhere near the energy of what I give out can't just pop into my experience and get this information from me.
Yeah. Huh. This is very interesting stuff. So then tell me this. I mean, you know, I know from going to your website, which everybody we're going to link to, edwardlangen.com. Yeah, of course. You have a lot of offerings going on here. Yes. You know, there's one of the testimonials. Someone said, I was just thinking about it, and then it happened. And then... manifesting much more than they're even aware of. I mean, I'm curious, you said it's happening to us anyways, but yes. What is, can you point to a, because it has been pretty abstract. I mean, what is a good example?
I can make it solid for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Make it a little more solidify it for me, what yes. this manifestation is and what it might look like in daily life.
Sure. So you're thinking about your friend. You're thinking about your friend. Your phone rings. It's your friend. Wow. No, you did that. Your thoughts that you right. chose went to wherever they are, whether they're close by or on the other side of the country, wherever. You did that. You're humming your favorite song. You're humming your favorite song. You get in the car, you turn on a radio, your favorite song's playing. Wow. No, you did that. So when you start noticing those things, that's law of attraction. You create your own reality. Everything is a manifestation. So when you start doing it on purpose and start connecting the dots, that's when you realize that you're doing it.
So to go back to the beginning of our discussion, I mean, is nothing a coincidence then?
Correct. There is no such thing as a coincidence. So let's take this to the extreme.
Yeah, please.
If there are coincidences, that means God, source, creator, source energy, whatever you want to call it, threw dice with the universe and we somehow happened and we're sort of a mutation. That's complete BS.
Hmm.
This is a organized thought, creative, a little bit more than our ability to understand, functioning universe. There is no happenstance. It's not the case. And you find I'm struggling with words to describe it because it's such a big concept that the easiest way to explain it is God does not throw dice with the universe. You are not a mutation. We're not a surprise. We're not, you know, none of that is true. That's all the ego trying to make us small and make us insignificant, which is not the case.
Yeah. So then when you are working with people through your program, that the mindset breakthrough method,
yes.
What are you, obviously, look, I mean, there is so much here. By the end of that program, how much power do people have? I mean, have they gone through the cycle? Could someone exit that program and automatically just be like the millionaire manifester, or are they?
They could be. It takes so. Yeah. How long does it take you to? What's the right words here? How long does it take to integrate? That's the word, into your system. How long do you have to practice it, have to understand it, and be able to do it? Now, it's a big shift in energy, okay? We start the first couple of weeks, we start to uncover the beliefs that you have that were created by your programming, which we talked about a little while ago. And then we start looking into the conscious mind and the subconscious mind. And then we go into the law of attraction. I teach people the 6 steps to manifesting anything so that they know how to manifest. And then from there, I teach them how to create a vibrational vision of what it is they want. So in business, you're taught to make a vision statement. Okay, this is way more than this. This is a living document that is a vibrational document that puts you on track. So it's similar to what I was saying about writing down what you want for your podcast. It's more of that type of thing. So now I've put you in the energy and the vibration of what it is that you want to manifest. How quickly it manifests depends still on you, how much you do it, how much you believe it, how much you allow it. But by the end of the 8 weeks, you have gotten your energy is completely different. Just like the end of this podcast, the people who listen through this all the way, your energy now is completely different than it was when we first started talking. So imagine that times 8 weeks.
Yeah. No, that must be. I guarantee you must have breakthroughs through that. I mean, and you're doing tons of different things. I mean, EFT, NLP, vibrational boosters. I mean, all sorts of different things there. Oh gosh, now I've lost the question. I did have another follow-up question about this idea of conscious business. And the way, okay. Here's my question. As someone that works with entrepreneurs a lot, and we're talking about the universe not being imperfect, we're talking about the idea that there's an order, we're talking about some sort of guidance towards a more complex reality. This is something that, well, definitely has tripped me up in terms of my questioning of God and divinity. I've always gone, well, yeah, you know what? The idea that something is even going from simple to complex for some reason means that there's some sort of intelligence somewhere, even if it's random, it doesn't explain that it changed to something more intelligent and there's some, we can't understand it. Okay. I'm right. Sold on that. I'm sold that there's some intelligence. When it comes to business and it comes to entrepreneurs, what do you think is an easy way to really, for everybody to go after business ideas that are more in line with the cosmic order of things? It's a huge question, but I'm curious what you think.
Actually, it's a big question and it's a great question, and you're going to be surprised how simple the answer is. Okay. If someone says, oh, I'm sorry, it's only business, that's completely wrong. And I don't like to use the word wrong, and I don't use that word often, but that is completely wrong, because what we're saying is you don't matter as a person. The money is more important, and I can do whatever the hell I want to you or to your company because the money is the most important thing. That is the problem right there. Okay. So yes, when you realize that money is not your God, and that we're all connected and that we're all one, and what I do to anybody else, I'm doing to myself and doing to everybody else, that's when that changes. But for right now, our society still worships money. But there are people like me, lots of people like me, where that's changing, where it's about helping people, where we're understanding humans are the only species in the entire universe that believes there's not enough. And then that's where that's. So if there's not enough, then I can do anything to you to take your money. And that's not the case. So it's starting from there. And the people who work with me are going to resonate with that vibration somewhere within that. That might not be exactly their total thing yet, but that's what they're, that's again, it's part of the spiritual understanding that comes from what I teach. When you understand that you can manifest anything you want, and whatever I manifest doesn't take anything away from you or anybody else, I don't need to be a raider. I don't need to go stealing money from other people. You don't need to do that. Manifest it for yourself. Make your own pie. And so that's the answer there. That's a great question, by the way.
Oh, good. I'm glad. No, I mean, it's definitely, I hear people talk about it. I hear people talk about conscious business, and it's very hard to, I mean, I really thought this, at least at the beginning, I've talked about this a lot on the show, this idea of the pandemic being a way of, I mean, it must have been great for someone like you to see that. At the only thing I can think that was good for someone that's spiritually attuned like you are at the beginning of the pandemic, or not the pandemic, but the lockdown, is that people automatically are forced to go into themselves.
Yes.
That I know some people broke off from their corporate jobs. I know some people broke off from the things that their parents had told them to do and went to go find that thing that was most important to them. Ed, is this the world that you, I know you're not a fortune teller. I know I wanted to ask the psychic right. if we're going to move in this direction, but at the very least for people listening out there that are going, yeah, but there's no money in it. How am I going to survive? I have to do these things. How can you assure them that this way of thinking can lead to the abundance that they want?
I can't. They have to find it on their own. But when they just hear what we just talked about and what we just said, now when you heard it, there was a little resonance inside of you. Something inside of you went, okay, that's interesting. Well, a lot of people who just heard what we said, there's a little resonance within them. And I just planted a seed within them. Now, it may take 3 years to blossom. It may take 5 years. It may never blossom. But there was a seed planted, and there was the beginning of the understanding. Okay? As we change our thinking, as we change. So what does that look like on a smaller, more human level? You're standing in a store. Hopefully we're out of lockdown, and you're standing in a store, and the guy in front of you reaches his hand in his pocket and he pulls out his money and he drops $2 on the floor. And you bend down and pick up the $2 and hand them to him and say, hey, you just dropped these. Same thing, right? Because this is not specifically you, but if someone goes and puts their foot over it and covers it so that the guy doesn't see it and slides it back and then picks up the $2, right? That's the same thing. That's money is your God. So in that small way, that's how it begins. Now, eventually, when all of our thought forms change and when all our energy changes, because there is mass consciousness, when that reaches mass consciousness, the way businesses do business will begin to change. And I don't know if you've noticed this, but the way businesses are doing businesses is starting to change because this thought is out there and it's getting to mass consciousness. Yeah. So it's more prevalent than people realize.
Yeah. These are very heavy thoughts. They are good. They're good. No, they're good. But they're very good. They're definitely, I'm excited to experience where these seeds that you've planted are going to take me. Everybody, you have to check out Ed Langan. That's edwardlangan.com. And if you want to participate in the Mindset Breakthrough Method program, after eight weeks of this, you can't not transform. I mean, you, right. You heard it. It's you're leading the way. You're leading the way here. Yes. Everybody, we'll put the link to that. Sign up for the course. But also, your website in general, if people can't make it to that course, you have a lot of, I mean, you wrote a book, you have a lot of different products.
Yes.
So also you host the show, right? Do you still host that?
I am currently on hiatus. I did it for just about 2 years. It was Life Wisdom with Ed Langan, where I would talk about spiritual things like this. I would channel some information. I would answer people's questions. And all the episodes are on my website. So if you go on my website to the media page, you can watch them. And you'll find some other podcasts that I've been on. And you'll find this podcast on there, too, after it's been released and we have that information.
Yes.
A couple of things. The Mindset Breakthrough Method is edwardlangan.com/MBM. And that'll bring you right to the page and explain it to you. There's a free gift for everybody if you're interested, which is a mindset shift. It's a PDF that has 10 mindset hacks for you. And that's at edwardlangan.com/mindset. So that's there for all you folks, all your listeners out there to check out. And this has been fun. I love doing this. This is
Ed, I very much appreciate it. I loved the way you shifted things. Wait a minute, before we go, I need to know the significance of your this Star of David next to your name. This cosmic Star of David looking. I know it's not quite that, but it's kind of got this it's got that kind of Taurus.
It's in there. The Star of David is actually a two-dimensional drawing of a Merkaba.
And I was going to say, is that the Merkaba you got in there?
Yes, it is. And I have a three-dimensional one right here. I'll put it over here so you can all see.
Oh my gosh.
So that's a piece of rose quartz, and that's a Merkaba. And the Star of David is a two-dimensional drawing of the Merkaba. So in my little logo is the Vesca Pisces, which are the two circles, and then the Star of David, which is part of Metatron's cube. And Metatron is one of the archangels. And so
oh,
that's
my gosh.
Some of the energy that you've been talking to tonight.
Yes. Wow. Wow. Yeah. No, that is definitely a powerful symbol on the website. Everybody be careful. If you go to this website and meditate on that image too much, you might go out of body. I mean, I've heard some stories about that, but no, I mean, hey, look, I love it. I love all this stuff. Ed, I'm very grateful you came on. Thank you so much. This has been a very enlightening conversation. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it was great. It was a lot of fun. So excellent.
Ed Langan, part one of the series. You manifested that. Again, I'm just going to say it all week. This is your fault. I want to thank Ed for coming on the show. I want to thank Rodney McGilvray for the theme music. Hey, the rest of this week, we're going to go right into the content. So, we'll see if the new listeners pick up on what's happening. But hey, we got stuff to manifest here. There's no time. Thank you all for listening. I'm excited for what we attract tomorrow.